Seymour, he gets my cat, Seymour the cat, is he gets randomly, like, not even, not like drenched, but not even, but not a little wet. I'll go to pet him and it's like significantly wet. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I look around because sometimes I think he likes to go into my bathroom and he likes to sip at the faucet in the bathtub, like he's a hamster. But then I'll go check if there's no water coming out of it. So, or like the washroom's closed. He just gets wet.
Significantly wet.
And I don't like it. Noticeably and significantly.
Title of your sex tape.
Significantly wet.
Significantly and noticeably wet. Yeah, okay, so something I want to ask you about, which I feel like you need to clear up for our listeners and any people who follow you on social media. Poopgate.
Poopgate. Okay, I'm going to bite my tongue because I don't want to get too mad about it. But I got a little mad. So, a couple of days ago, early this week, five days ago or whatever. I was grabbing a coffee from, and I was walking from my kitchen into my living room where I work. And then I noticed at the corner of my eye, on the wall, but near the about a cat's height up from the wall, there was this little fucking cat turd stuck and glued onto my wall. It was like a cat shit on my wall. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I take a video of the video, and I'm just like, oh, it's a Seymour shit on my wall, whatever. And I send that to like a specific friend. And then a couple days later, I post like a picture or something of Seymour. And I'm just like, it's just a cute cat picture. And then I'm just like, oh, actually, while I'm here, I'll post that funny video of the shit on the wall because it's funny. And then when I posted the video, I did it. I thought it was clear where I wrote the text like a couple days ago, he pooped on my wall. And then a couple people were like, why the fuck is it still there?
Clean it up.
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? What do you mean? Why is it still there? It's the videos from a couple days ago. And so, and then after the first person that messaged me this, I was like, oh, haha. No, I cleaned it up right away. I guess it's just, then it was like, doo-loop, 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 doo-loop. I'm like, what the fuck? And so I had to, I guess this is the closest I've ever come to getting canceled, where I had to make an explanation story post where I was just like, all right, there are some misconceptions over the cat poop video that I made. And I had to explain to people that I did not just leave cat shit on my wall for days and then brag about it and share it to people that boasting that I have days old cat shit on my wall. Because that's what people think of me. That's why I was upset.
Yeah.
I was like, you think I just leave cat shit on my wall and I tell people
like
about
you would see the cat shit and then pull out your phone, take a video, and then just leave it there because you're like, haha, funny Seymour. This will be funny.
It will stop being funny if there's poopy on the wall. If there's no poopy on the wall.
That was very funny. Because it was funny to see that he had like shit on the wall. Because like, then you're just imagining how he did that. So, like, was he prairie dogging it and then he backed himself up into the wall and then just stamped it and walked away?
It would have to be that, but he would have done it so deftly. Mm-hmm. He did it remarkably well. And, like, he would have, and then he's clearly something he's done before because he was like, oh, got a turd stuck in there. So he just like, stuck it on the wall then walked away.
Yeah, exactly.
It was very weird.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that before.
I'm glad.
Never seen a cat shit.
I'm glad that we can clear that up for people and put the rumors to rest that you don't just have cat shit on your walls and you don't live in squalor.
My place has a lack of decoration, but it's not covered in shit. I'll give that. And all right, whatever. I guess on that note, hi everyone, welcome to episode 20 22 of You Should Check Out.
I think so.
Episode 22 of You Should Check Out, the podcast You Should Check Out. We're going to keep doing some friendly fucking banter. It's not about cat shit, because I would like to say Kat posted a video on her Instagram story of a sushi robot.
Sushi cat robot.
A sushi cat, which confused me a lot. Did anyone sexually harass it?
No.
Why not?
I think it moves.
So everyone there was just a bunch of
dorks. I think it moves too fast.
They finally cracked the code on the unmolestable robot. It's just the speed. I guess it makes sense. Anyone that wants to molest a robot, I don't think they have much speed.
No.
But then again, I do.
But then again, I'm pretty fast. my family and I went for sushi last night because it was my cousin's birthday, and at the sushi restaurant we had a cat robot waiter. So this is a robot that goes on its own, sometimes literally by itself, so it'll get programmed, I guess, to deliver the food to your table, and it'll come up to you. It has multiple trays where food can be on, and then the one that's for your table, that specific level lights up, so you know that that's the food that's for you. So then that's the only one that you take. So it'll come right up. It knows where everything is. It doesn't bump into anything. If someone is walking towards it, it'll pause and then veer out of the way. Like do a little scoot.
It'll scan whoever is in its way, and then it will generate an insult based on their race.
Yeah.
It's a very not cool robot.
Very not cool, but very advanced.
Sushi restaurants have cracked the first racist serving robot. We'll find out why later tonight.
Yeah, so I took a video and I posted it on my story, and I literally saw that and was like, oh, I am so late to the game. Like, to me, Asian restaurants have been doing this for years for some reason in my brain. Not that I've seen this before, but I was like, wow, super cool. But I'm like, of course they have this. Of course they do, you know?
I'm surprised, because that seems like it's like something you'd find in Tokyo. I didn't think we'd have, because I'm assuming you got this somewhere in Mississauga, Etobicoke?
Yeah, it was like Oakville.
Oakville. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, would not expect robotic servers in Oakville.
No. And sometimes, like, so the robot would come, and then the actual people servers, because there were lots of, like, people servers, and the robot was literally just
and
walking.
And they all hated the robot. The robot hated them.
They're all, like, working in tandem with this robot. Sometimes, like, they would walk with it or get to the table right after it and then just take the stuff off of the level for you and put it on your thing, and then they both walked away. It was crazy. So, like, guys,
Would they ask the robot to cover their shifts? So they could...
That's what I have questions about. Like, it clearly does the job. You just have to program it. So, like, can it take your shift?
Did it have a name?
I don't think it had a name, but it had a little, like, cute kawaii face. And, like, little things on it that looked like cat ears. Like, the machine itself was built to have the, like, bumps for cat ears. So that's why I know it was a cat. And it would say stuff to you.
What did it say to you?
It would say stuff like, hello, goodbye, like that. I think it said, like, enjoy your food too, something like that. Like, it was talking and blinking and smiling. But yeah, it was very cool.
I love sushi.
I love sushi robots. And my nephew, who's 4, every time the robot came by, he would wave at it and be like, hi, robot.
That's our word.
You can't call me that.
What if the kid's like, hi, robot. And then everything stops, record scratch. It's like, what did you call me? I just called you a robot.
Yeah. So that's an exciting thing. And also, Jason, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. So, I have noticed this trend where after I speak about a topic, not all topics, okay? Not all the time. Mm-hmm. But after I speak about a topic, then it kind of like blows up somehow in the real world. So,
okay.
I remember...
I have noticed a lot of Amish people in my apartment.
Are you inviting those roller skating Amish girls to your apartment?
God, they're too fat. I'm just running them out, but I can't find them.
Imagine a sushi restaurant where the waiters are cat robots and Amish girls on roller skates.
It's just like fish that they clubbed and threw on a plate. And they're all just too fucked and fucking drunk to do anything about it.
So drunk on Coors Lights.
Yeah. Drinking the biggest cigarettes known to man.
Yeah.
What blew up?
So after...
Tentacle porn?
Yeah. So much tentacle porn. No. So after our Free Britney episode, more and more news about Britney's conservatorship started coming up in the news. Because like that documentary was coming out. And I didn't even know about this documentary when I was doing my research for that. But after our episode, and I don't want to... Guys, I don't want to say that it was because of our episode, but I did notice more and more of it in the news. And then now, after our BBL episode...
Oh, is there BBL stuff?
Yeah. BBLs are done. The era of BBL is done.
Are they illegal or...?
No. Well, they might as well be now. The Kardashians took out their BBLs.
What?
They are...
Wait, you can take them out?
Apparently!
What do you mean you can take it out?
I don't know. I've just been seeing before and after photos... of people posting before and after photos of the Kardashians, specifically Kim and Khloe, because I think they were the ones who had huge BBLs. Apparently, the Kardashians don't want big booty big stuff. Yeah. But yeah, so like after a BBL episode, apparently.
A BBL episode. Oh, our BBL episode. I thought you were saying like a Kardashian had a BBL episode. There's a mental breakdown, but even worse is a BBL episode.
But yeah, after that episode, now it's in the news where the BBL era's over because their before and after photos look like that they've taken them out.
See, now I want people to get BBLs because I don't want them not to do it just because the Kardashians did. I don't want them to do anything the Kardashians did.
That's exactly the reason why people did it.
Yeah.
You know?
It would be funny, like... If they got the BBLs removed and then just put it all in one of their tits.
This like, is what really... I have questions about, is how do you take it out?
Yeah, because is it just like just basic liposuction?
Exactly. Do you just suck it out and then dispose of it? Because I guess they wouldn't want it anywhere else.
Do you eat it?
Do you eat it?
Well, I guess I wonder, do they? Like, I've never, like, From the movie Fight Club and the book Fight Club, they make soap out of discarded human waste.
Wow!
But I know that's just in that movie. But I wonder, what do they do? What do they actually do? They probably just incinerate it or dump it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that they do, unless they keep it frozen for a later date.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know when you're gonna need your old booty fat that was once your stomach fat, you know? But yeah, those are the two that I've noticed that after I've spoken about them, they've like been in the news.
Where could us go?
I'm sure after my topic today, it's gonna be all over the place. A thousand percent.
I hope they never talk. Because to transition into, I'll go first today since you kicked us off last time with tentacle erotica. I'm almost so excited about this podcast, of this topic, because of how not excited I am for this topic.
Oh boy!
This topic is. Let me try to rationalize why I chose this because it's weird. I don't like my topic at all.
Okay.
But I like it because I don't like it because it's not like a oh it's so disgustingly crazy I hate it. It's just a thing. It's like a something that's just in the cultural zeitgeist that keeps popping up over the last couple of years.
Okay.
And it just annoys me.
Okay.
So I'm going to soft transition to it. I chose to do this topic because I wanted to talk about it, but it's mainly because I don't want to just do recommendations, but I was watching the HBO miniseries documentary, How To with John Wilson.
Oh yeah. I've been meaning to watch that show.
I really, really highly recommend it. Because, like, what I'm about to talk... I'm going to do, like, a... Because I didn't want to just... I wanted to do, like, a recommendation. Like, that would be my topic. But that's not fun.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to do a quick... if you haven't seen it, How To... It's this... It's this documentary miniseries by this guy named John Wilson. Mm-hmm. And the way it works, it's like, you ever watch All Gas, No Breaks?
No.
Okay. Well, it's, okay, then just sorry. Yeah, so it's this documentary series about this guy. He's this very nervous documentarian. He's just with a very anxious attitude, very funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works, he will choose like a topic like that's very basic, like a inane, mundane, whatever, like how to get better at small talk, mm-hmm. how to improve your memory, how to cover your furniture in plastic, how to build scaffolding.
Okay.
And what he does is he takes those small topics and he extrapolates them and kind of compares them to like something going on in his personal life,
mm-hmm.
and then just follows these topics, these things like so wildly out of the original direction, and he'll end up in a different part of the country, and he just keeps referring everything he finds back to the topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really cool. Like how to make small talk is like the theme small talk becomes like an analogy for loneliness or vulnerability. Aww. And yeah. Talking to people.
How to with what's his name?
John Wilson.
That's the show you're talking about right now.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
But it's amazing. They do this. He has this one episode that's how to split a check, and it's a really funny thing because it ends up just being like a really cool it becomes a metaphor for like what is it. Well, and also, like, briefly a metaphor. Like, he'll explore it as a metaphor of wealth inequality, and just the idea of fairness. And it's really cool. And he follows a group of referees to a referee-only dinner, thinking it would be the most fair event ever made. But it's fucking chaos, and they all hate each other. Let me just see here. So yeah, but I got my topic, because the topic's still coming, in the third episode, I believe, how to improve your memory.
Okay.
So the way he works, he kind of he gets this he meets this girl, this woman who is like a championship rememberer.
Wow.
Like she goes to she it's a championship rememberer, and she gives John Wilson this tip on how what professional rememberers do to help mm-hmm. them remember things. They do this thing called creating a mind palace.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Where it's like, yeah, so it's like, let's say if you're doing the periodic table of elements, like you wake up in a, oh no, I'm stupid, I don't know any elements, so I can't even make
this. Hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you wake up in a bed, and the other side of your bed is a balloon that's helium, and then you do, and so you create a visual metaphor, with things in your mind, so they each represent a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
So John Wilson decides to do that, and it takes, and this is what's so great about the show is that he just takes ideas and he just runs with them, and he was like, okay, let's see where this goes. So he wants to build a grocery list and remember it by things he finds on the street. So that brings him to the grocery store, and he's buying all these things off of, he saw like a tree that had fallen in the road. So he's like, okay, that's broccoli. I'm going to buy broccoli. He saw like a casket, like someone dead in a casket. And he's like, okay, that's a Snickers bar. So he did all that. And then in the documentary, he runs into this guy at the grocery store. And so he's just like, okay, I'm going to ask him because I think he works there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to ask him where things is. And turns out he did not work there really. He was like, he did inventory. He was a guy that designs inventory management for grocery stores.
Okay.
And while he's talking to him, he starts... He starts showing John all around the store all these products of that that make that what's how do I phrase this? He shows John products that carry the Mandela effect.
Oh,
And are you familiar with the Mandela Effect?
I am.
Okay, well, my topic is begrudgingly about the Mandela Effect.
Oh, wow.
Because I hate it. But it's, but I want to love it because
okay.
the Mandela Effect, for those that don't know, because let's say, what's a good example?
Literally Mandela.
You know yeah, so Mandela Effect, it's this, it's a word used for when a group of people, a group remembering of an event that doesn't match with the historical record.
Yes.
So when a bunch of people collectively misremember something,
mm-hmm.
that is what's known as the Mandela Effect, because in 2000, it was coined by a woman named Fiona Broom, mm-hmm. which is a funny name. Fiona Broom is a paranormal researcher,
mm-hmm.
and she, like a fair amount of people, had a memory of Nelson Mandela dying in prison in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And then she was doing research and stuff, and then she's like, wait, what do you mean Nelson Mandela is still alive? Because mm-hmm. he died in 2013. So then she wrote about it, and then a bunch of people had a similar feeling where they thought for sure they have a direct memory of Nelson Mandela dying,
mm-hmm.
but he did not.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is continued through
like thousands oceans. Of people all yeah, over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thought and, that Nelson Mandela had died in prison.
And there are many, many different things. And then, but what's become one of the most popular areas of the Mandela Effect is brands and pop culture.
Yes.
Because the guy, he takes John all over the store because John just ran into a guy that's crazy about the Mandela Effect. And he shows him like, the, you know, like, I almost just said it now. But you know, like the stovetop stuffing box?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows it as Stouffer's stovetop stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally never been Stouffer's.
What is it?
At no point, it's Kraft. It's always been Kraft stovetop stuffing.
Wow.
It's not Stouffer's. It never has been. And then there are some that I don't think I've, I, like Febreze, like cat, spell Febreze.
F-E-B-R-E-E-Z-E.
Incorrect. There's only one E in Febreze. Well, technically two. It's not. There's not a double E. It's spelled Febreze. And no, it's
holy
very
fuck.
Kat, you know the raisin. You know Raisin Bran.
Yes.
Explain the mascot to me.
The mascot of Raisin Bran.
Yeah.
Is it
a different one? Don't. Is sorry, it I thought we were gonna Google him.
No. my fingies yeah. are over here. Is it? A scoop? Is it two scoops?
Yeah, the two scoops, but who was holding the two scoops?
I've never seen someone holding the two scoops.
You got it. It was the sun.
The sun is holding the two scoops?
Okay. Well, if you don't know the mascot, I will ask it. But a lot of people remember the sun, the raisin scoop, as the sun with two scoops and sunglasses.
Yeah.
He has never had sunglasses.
Can I look it up now?
Yeah. He's never, it's just a sun with like two scoops of raisins. But Kat, tell me, you know the Monopoly guy?
Yeah.
Does he have a monocle?
I thought he did.
He does not. He's never had a monocle. Curious George, you know Curious George's tail?
Yeah.
He never had a tail.
Yeah, he never had a tail. That I,
Okay, that one you know.
Oh, there is a sun. Ew, I don't like the sun.
And this one's kind of weird. You know, because even if some of these don't work, you know the show, the show in New York about four ladies? It starts with sex and ends with city.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of that show? And say it slowly.
I think I know that it is Sex in the City.
It incorrect. It's Sex and the City, but everyone remembers it as Sex in the City.
Oh my god, I thought I was smarter than this.
No, it's Sex and the City.
I am the dummy.
You are the dummy. And then there's just some smaller ones like some more pop culture ones like Fruit Loops. Everyone, this was tricky because it's hard because sometimes they don't land because let's say, like, Looney Tunes. I remembered it being spelled, like, Tunes as in cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
But it's spelled T-U-E-N-E-S, like yeah, musical tunes.
Yeah, music. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. So, like, some of them work, some of them don't. A big one that gets a lot of people is the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to do that one.
Yeah, because it's the Berenstain, everyone, it's the Berenstain, like everyone calls it, like everyone, that's what everyone decided to call it with, like it's spelled S-T-E-I-N,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. It's the Berenstain Bears.
But that everyone, one is the biggest one. I think that one is up there with Mandela.
Yeah, that's like, it's what's known, it's one of the biggest ones. However, the reason why I get so negative about this topic is because I want to love this, because I find this super interesting.
Yeah.
I love what this is. It's like, because I have a personal theory on it.
Okay.
I'm not a psychologist. I'm not anyone in memory. I've heard some people have similar thoughts of this. I think it's a collective unconscious editing that we all do.
Mm-hmm.
Is because a lot of these things, it's just, it makes more sense with the way that we misremember it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we don't remember the actual correct way is because, to be quite honest, it's we've edited it because this version makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, I've never met someone, because the Berenstain Bears, Steen is a suffix to a last name that I am familiar with.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone whose name ends with a stain.
Yes.
So it makes sense to collectively remember something as Berenstain other than Berenstain.
Yeah.
And
then the Raisin Scoops, the Raisin Brand son, mm-hmm. he's obviously got to be wearing sunglasses because he's the sun and he's too bright.
He is too bright. And because the sunglasses, that's just kind of become a trope of suns altogether.
Yeah.
That we just put retroactively onto the Raisin Brand.
Yeah.
And... big ones are movies that are misquoted.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I get kind of annoyed with Mandela Effect, is because when something like big ones are,
Star Wars,
Luke, I am your father.
Yeah.
That's not really the line. The line is, no, I am your father.
Yeah.
But the reason why it's misremembered, in my opinion, is because it's parodied so much.
Yeah.
It's become... The reason why it's so, the line is so famous, really, is because it's probably the most parodied line ever.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're doing a parody, that means you just need a quick snippet of time. Mm-hmm. And that quick snippet of time means you have to cut the context clue before it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, if you're doing a quick parody, you can't have a back and forth. You just go straight to Luke, I am your father.
Because
mm-hmm. it's just... efficient.
Yeah.
Same with life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
The actual context is life was like a box of chocolates.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's how it's actually said. But when it's a line that's just referenced so much, it's like, yeah, when you say it in past tense, it's clunky.
Yeah. Isn't the other one in from Casablanca?
Frankly, that sounds familiar. I didn't write that one.
I think
that definitely sounds familiar.
Heard that one too, like the Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That sounds familiar. There's also Oscar. Oh, Hello Clarice, I think is one. Oh, from Silence of the Lambs, Pikachu. You know Pikachu?
Yeah.
No Pikachu. You know, Pikachu's tail, is it pure yellow or does it have a black on the end?
It has a black on the end and a red.
It does not. It does not.
What?
Pikachu's tail is solid yellow.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Pikachu tail.
Yeah, look at Pikachu. His tail is solid yellow. So yeah, see how this is fun? Like we're having fun? The way that this stops is that people take this so uber seriously. And what it's kind of become for a lot of people
that
it's kind of become like a paranormal thing.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people believe that the Mandela Effect is a representation of a timeline shift.
Ooh,
and
that it's a proof
of multiverse.
Yes.
So the Mandela Effect to a lot of people is the consequence of jumping timelines while retaining memories from the previous one.
Yes.
So it's not that you're misremembering.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it's not that human brain is a funny, cool thing, and that and that us and that collective memories is very, what's the word, ubiquitous is very, is it the, what's the word, this, the subjectivity of memory is like, that's interesting. But then, no, it's not. It's not. It's not that we all just collectively misremember something. It's that I'm from a different timeline. I'm a chosen one.
It's not that our brains are complex and there's like nuance to things and subjectivity. No. It's that there's different universes.
I'm a chosen one.
I'm a chosen one. I'm a time traveler. A variant. Have you seen Loki?
No.
Oh.
But I think I get that from context clues.
Okay, thank you.
In the How To with John Wilson, there's one that I was like, whoa, what the fuck? JFK's assassination.
Mm-hmm.
The car where JFK got shot, I remembered it always so clearly of it's just a regular car with two people in the front, two people in the back.
Yeah.
There were three rows. There were six people in that car.
There were?
There actually were. What? And then it was like a different angle of the car and his assassination. There's three rows of two.
What?
I was like, whoa, what the fuck? But I guess that's just angles and the way it's shown that it just doesn't look as obvious.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's like, it's fun when you're just like, oh, my brain like chose, because similar to what I was saying before of a subconscious editing, my brain remembers two rows of two because that's a normal car.
Yeah.
The three rows of two, my brain, if it's not 100% sure, it's going to edit it down to what I perceive as a normal car.
Holy shit, dude.
I know. And like, I find this stuff just really, really fun. And, so in the documentary, in How To, he befriends this Nelson Mandela guy. And the why the show's so good is now the show is focused entirely on this guy and the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Because it's like, because he takes him to his office, he explains all this, and then he tells John that there is a Nelson Mandela first ever convention that's playing at Ketchum, Idaho. So John, of course, immediately buys a ticket and flies to the convention, where if you watch the show, you can see the first ever Nelson Mandela convention. Mandela Effect Convention. They all did very racist cosplays and showed up as Nelson Mandela. It was inappropriate.
Was our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau there?
10 of him were. There were 10 Trudeaus. So like, there's a really and he goes around, he talks to people, and it's like they're all saying like, no, I'm pretty sure it's like a timeline shift, it's proof of the multiverse. They say all that stuff.
Yep.
And there's this one part, this one girl, this one woman, she they're doing a Q&A. And she hops up, and John's narrating that, and he's a very nerdy voice. And he's just like, "At this, I was still very confused, but I was hoping to do the Q&A. I would be a little bit more enlightened, and I understand what's going on." Then it cuts to this woman. She's like in like a leather jacket. She has like a bunch of neck tattoos. Seems like a very nice lady. She's very fun.
Yeah.
And she's just like, "I don't understand the internet."
Oh boy.
Is it what? What is it? Is it? Is it crystals? And then there's silence over the crowd. No one's like, what? And then this, I'm bringing this up because I think it's very important thematically to what the Mandela effect is.
Mm.
And then she goes, is it, I don't. And then they go like, and then the guy she's asking is like, it's like it's information they hold everybody. But what holds the information? Is it crystals? And then she's like, well, it's like hardwired. It's like technology, and he's kind of out of, because it's a hard thing to say, explain the internet.
Yeah.
And then she goes, but what is it made of? Is it crystals? And then there's some muttering, and he goes like, well, it's 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 crystals. It's crystals. Yeah. And then she goes, oh, okay, well, that's all I wanted to know. Okay, thank you. And then she just walks off and sits down. And then everyone very politely claps for her, and they all go about their convention. But that in itself is what he kind of explores, is the gratification of instant... Oh, no. How do I phrase this? The pleasure of instant gratification from a group of people. Mm. Because... when everyone is so looking to belong and connect over something, you can say anything and they will vindicate you, they'll agree with you, and they'll make you feel better for it. Wow. Like with the Mandela effect, it's like if you tell them anything, like if you want, hey, something I found was kind of weird, I want to know, like, I think it's kind of weird. And they go like, oh my God, yes, that is weird. Mm-hmm. We're friends. You're a part of us. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, cool. And he explores that a little bit, because the one that he found was weird is, you know, when you're on your side view mirror.
Yeah.
It's like objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear.
Yeah.
Incorrect. It's objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. I always remembered it said may be closer.
Yeah.
But that's what that documentary said. It's like, one that I found weird is like, you ever look at the rear view mirror? It doesn't say maybe. And then the guy goes, whoa, that's crazy. I know. That's so fun. And then John's like, I'm not going to lie, it felt really good for him to say that to me.
Wow. Can I do a little side, an aside of this, of that lady asking if the internet is crystals, and like the guy trying to explain to her what the internet was, reminds me of a time I was in a grocery store and I was looking for fruits, and this old white lady just taps me on the shoulder, holds up a mango and goes, what is this? And I'm like, a mango? She's like, but what is it? And I was like, a fruit? Like, because I'm not knowing where to start off, you know? And then she's like, but what's it like? And I have to be like, it's got a big like stone seed in it. She goes, how do you cut it? And I'm like, oh my God, what does it taste like? And I'm like, oh my God.
Explain to me
what the mango is. And then I did my best, and then she kind of was like, okay, thank you, and walked away. And I was just standing in the grocery section, the fruit and veggie section, just going, what the hell?
Did you just evaporate into dust as she walked away?
Honestly. Like, I turn around and she wasn't there.
This is the only thing tying me to the mortal realm.
She's always wanted to know what a mango was.
I can now return to hell.
Yeah, that's what that story reminded me of. But another thing I will say is that, you know, that's all we want as humans and people is connection and validation. Isn't it? Yeah, we're so simple sometimes.
Yeah, we just want that. We just want that group, and we want to feel special, and we want to have that connection with people.
Yeah.
But what bothers me, because it's like such an interesting topic to talk about that now has this big asterisk fork in the road.
Yeah.
Like if someone talks to you about the Mandela effect, it could be something really fun to talk about, or this could be someone you need to run away from.
Yeah, because if they're like, because if you go into it being like, yeah, isn't it funny that we all remember things a little bit differently?
Yeah.
And then they start being like, well, that's just because we're remembering different timelines. And you're like, this is not what I want to hear at this cocktail party. No, thank you.
Because it could be such a fun topic, because I love these things where you're just like, oh, like I was completely wrong. I never realized that. Like monocle, the monocle on the Monopoly man, 100% I thought he had a monocle. Yeah.
You know who it is? I think it's the Pringles guy.
Yes, that's true.
And they're very similar looking guys.
They are very similar. That's very true.
They're broiders.
They're broiders. But yes, that is my topic. The topic was the Mandela effect, but it's just because I didn't want to just do the recommendation. But recommendation, How To with John Wilson, is really good.
Yeah. Do you recommend also looking into the conspiracy theories of different multiverses and going into that deep dive on YouTube of 1,000% like dudes talking about how we're all in just different, the darkest timeline.
That stuff, no. But what I would do, you're not going to believe it, because I watched a TED Talk that I didn't like. It's because, similar to it, because I was watching this TED Talk of that was exactly what I feared it would be, was someone taking it too seriously.
The Mandela effect?
Yeah, like, where it's like she didn't say that it was a, she was like, some people believe that it's a timeline, that's a proof of timeline shifts. Mm. Now, you can't prove anything on either side. I was like, shut up. Oh, no. Why would you even bring it up? But weirdly enough, the best video for Mandela Effect is Watch Mojo.
Watch Mojo is great.
Watch Mojo is great, but it was the most concise, where it's literally, they just keep it what's fun. They just do mostly just pop culture stuff, like movie lines.
Oh, the stuff and that you then, remember and what they really are.
Yeah, and then the writers and the presenters, they're smart enough to go like, they don't take it too seriously, and they just kind of, and they kind of go like, I'm pretty sure this is just like us remembering it because we saw it in this, and then it came up in this, and then it was parodied in this, and this is why it's like, okay, that makes more sense. Yeah. So yeah, watch Mojo.com's Mandela Effect video. It's pretty good. Hell yeah.
Nice, Jason.
I think that'll be it for me for today.
Good job, buddy. Great.
Thanks,
one.
Thanks, buddy. A swing and a hit.
Swing.
I just picked him up, so I'm now dead to him for another, like, hour or so. I can't resist picking him up, but I know I shouldn't.
Is he heavy?
He's fairly heavy.
How's he doing medical-wise?
He's fine. I still... Because did I tell you that, that he has arthritis?
I think so. I think you did.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially, the bummer is, next, I had to take him to the vet 4 weeks in a row. Aww. And then I had to take him to the vet once a month forever, just so he can get injections for his arthritis, which is fine. I'm fine doing that. It's just, it's going to be a hit financially next month, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He finished his pain meds. I've been giving him pain meds for about 2 weeks now, which I didn't think I'd be able to do, but he's so weird. He's such a, okay, I'm going to take it out. I was about to drop the C word, but I'm going to... There's no need to call my cat a cunt. But he's such an asshole with, like, so many... With getting in the carrier, so or, like, any manipulation he hates.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But I was dreading having to give him pain meds, where he like, a plastic-tipped syringe, put it in his mouth, and shoot it down his throat.
Yeah.
Well, not even down his throat, but just shoot it in his mouth. I was dreading it. For some reason, he's so cool with it. It's a life or death to get him in a fucking carrier, but he's like, oh, you want to shoot medicine in my throat? Okay, go for it. I could care less. And I was like, okay. It's weird.
Alrighty. You draw the line at weird moments, buddy.
Yeah. But I love him.
I still love him.
I see more. And normally I don't like cats. He's the only cat I like.
Cute.
Other than you, of course.
Fucking hope so, bud. Fucking better be.
Fucking better be. What do you got for me, Toots? I like Toots.
I actually really like Toots.
Yeah, I like, Toots is great.
I kind of giggled when you did it.
Yeah.
Oh, me? It is December 6th, which means it's Christmas time.
Okay.
Which also means I'm going to talk about something Christmassy.
Yes.
So last year, I spoke about Krampus.
Krampus.
And I wanted to look into other weird Christmas traditions. I found a bunch.
Okay.
I was going to just list them all for you and kind of do a very light topic of like, ew, I'm not crazy. But then one caught my eye, and that is La Befana.
La Befana?
La, space, Befana. So B-E-F-A-N-A.
Befana?
Befana.
Oh, Befana. La Befana?
La Befana, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Okay, Befana. Befana, Befana.
I had my first run-in with pronunciations today. Since YouTube hides their fucking dislikes, it's hard to tell if they're good now. Because there is...
is a dislike employee button, but they hide the amount.
Yeah, they can see it. Because, like, there's a new Greek, very Greek employee at work and they had the Greekest name I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on YouTube and to get a definition, but to get a what's it called, pronunciation. But there's no, I couldn't see dislikes. So I was like, maybe because it had like 15 likes. I was like,
oh,
does it have 1,000 dislikes? I don't know.
That is tough. So,
what is, and can you type it out to me just so I can remember?
Yes. I'm pretty sure it is La Befana. La Befana. It is Italian.
So it's Italian. Oh. Yeah.
That's why I've had an Italian cadence about me today.
It's the first thing I said when you turn on your webcam. You're wearing a soccer jersey with startlingly white shorts.
Yeah, La Befana. Okay, listen to the way that this random guy starts his video off, okay? He's speaking in Italian, but listen to the voice he's doing. Why?
Sorry, I'm gonna go kill the president real quick. I don't know why. I just feel like I really need to burn down the White House and blow up the Lincoln Memorial.
Oh my God. I was trying to do research and I came across, I was like, oh, this guy, he's definitely very Italian. And I fucking click it and it was the first thing I heard. And I was like, how did my computer completely bust through its speakers in the last 10 seconds? Jesus. Anyways, so it's La Befana.
La Befana.
Okay, so she is an old woman who delivers gifts to children in Italy on January 5th, which is the eve of the Epiphany. So, in Catholicism, Epiphany is, oh God, how do I thought...
Is this a patron saint of strippers? Ladies and gentlemen, coming on stage, Epiphany. If your name Epiphany from birth, you're a stripper.
Yeah, from birth. Who names their kid Tiffany? Sorry, Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah. Britney's on the edge.
So Epiphany, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi. Basically, it's when, I think it's when like baby Jesus was seen by other people. It's like realizing our Savior is here. That's the Epiphany, essentially.
Like is it like the nativity scene where it's like that scene where it's like the baby in the cradle and everyone's looking at him with the wise men?
Yeah.
Is that the Epiphany?
Kind of. Hold on. I don't want to say the wrong thing because also, this is bad Catholic. Epiphany, also called Feast of the Epiphany, Theophany, or Three Kings Day. Yeah. Okay. So Epiphany, also called Feast of the Epiphany, Theophany, or Three Kings Day. Christian holiday commemorating the first manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, represented by the Magi, and the manifestation of his divinity as it occurred at his baptism in the Jordan. Oh, so the nativity scene is when the three wise men came upon Jesus and were like, oh, our Savior. And then the Epiphany, I think, is when he was actually...
this guy's sick.
And then the Epiphany is when he was actually baptized and, like, recognized as the Son of God. It's all very bastardized, what I just said, but it's essentially that. It's a Catholic thing.
Okay.
Don't tell my mom that I got that, that I fully butchered that.
This is my Sunday school. You are my Filipino mother.
Pretty much. So she comes on January 5th, which is Epiphany Eve, and she gives children, she fills their socks, their stockings with,
Epiphany Eve is more of a stripper name, Kat. Epiphany Eve.
like a douche wash or a sex toy line, you know?
Yeah.
So she comes around and she fills socks with candy if they're good, and then a lump of coal or dark candy if they're bad. In my mind, dark candy implies black licorice, and any child who is bad deserves black licorice. It's disgusting.
No.
Hate it.
I I wish, because like I don't like being picky, and I don't like going like, no, this food's icky, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But some foods bust through it.
Me
like,
neither.
Because I like bitter. I like bitter black coffee. I like bitter things. I like salty stuff. Mm-hmm. I like sour stuff. Mm-hmm. But black licorice, whatever it's trying to, it makes me gag.
It makes me absolutely gag. Do you remember when we used to work together, a bunch of us?
Yeah.
Do you remember those horrible people who would torment us with the saltiest black licorice?
It made me heave. I get unjokingly pukey.
Yeah. Every time I talk about this, I always want to add caveat. You get
very emotional.
I get very emotional. And then two, I always add in the caveat that, Jason, I don't gag that easy.
Mm-hmm.
Just pulled down my glasses. Yeah. To look at you eye to eye. I don't gag that easy, but when I put that candy in my mouth, bro, all of my insides wanted to be on the outside, okay? And I'm not that picky with food. Mm-hmm. I could not even keep that in my mouth.
Cuz you've had it's disgusting.
Yeah. So any bad kid deserves fucking black licorice, okay? So she does that, and then also because she's like an old lady and she's supposed to be like the best housekeeper in all of Italy or in her village or something, she, on her way out after delivering her goods, she will sweep up as she's leaving. And like you leave...
Well, who do they tell that for? Because that's such an adult addendum to it.
I know.
That's like... Because we're little kids, like, if you're good, she'll give you a candy when you go to sleep. And then goes to the parents, and if you are so good, she'll clean up your floors. Like, why are you telling... I'm an adult. I don't believe this.
She will swiffer your... and Fabrese your house.
She'll even get behind the fridge.
She'll pull out the fridge and the oven. And instead of leaving milk and cookies for her, because she's a grown-ass woman... You leave cups of wine and plates of food.
This bitch is eating.
Yeah, because bitches gotta eat. So let's talk about the legend of La Befana.
The legend, La Befana, bro.
The absolute legend. So she was approached by the three wise men, which I take issue with, because how are they going to somewhere in Israel? Like, where are they coming from? They're going up from like Africa, then down like to the right, then down to Israel to see baby Jesus, because apparently the three wise
what the fuck else are you gonna do?
It's like, I guess so,
look at the campfire for 5 more years until you die.
I guess you might as well go see like the Amalfi Coast and get some spaghetti, see the Colosseum on the way and then see the Colosseum on the way to see baby Jesus. But yeah, so apparently she runs into the three wise men. And they need a place to stay. So they're like three kind of different versions of the story. One is that they ask for a place to stay. She lets them stay at her house. And it's apparently the most kept, the nicest, cleanest house ever. And they're like, wow, this is 5-star service. And she's like, yeah, I fucking know.
I'm not just a Befana, I'm La Befana.
So then the next morning they're like, please come with us, come meet the baby Jesus. And she's like, no, I'm very busy, I have a lot of housework to do. Literally she says this.
She's stressed.
She's like, you've been in my house, I have to clean up after you, fucking animals, okay?
she just straight up has OCD.
Like, 1,000%.
This isn't fun for me. I go to different houses because my crushing anxiety, knowing that there are houses that aren't as clean as mine, I can't sleep. This is done strictly out of my own illness.
God. So, yeah, they invite her. She says, no, I'm fucking busy. And then they leave. And then apparently she has a change of heart and she's like, oh, you know what? This is too much. All I do is clean. I should go see the baby Jesus. So then
I'll go meet God.
She leaves and she tries to go and find them, but she can't find them. They're already in Israel, whatever, however fast they travel. So the legend is that she goes around house to house looking for the baby Jesus because she never got a chance to go meet him. a darker, sadder version of the story is that she had a child of her own, was the best mom, loved this baby to bits, and then it died. In her grief, it drove her mad. So she heard of the baby Jesus coming, and she was like, that's my baby. So then she went to go find baby Jesus, bringing like treats and toys and gifts and all that stuff, right? So she goes and meets the baby Jesus. Baby Jesus is fucking stoked.
Well, yeah, it's La Bufana. Who yeah, isn't stoked?
Exactly. So she comes bearing, instead of these, like, this is when you know women get shit done, because instead of bringing myrrh, frankincense, and gold, like the three wise men, three wise schmucks.
We can talk shit about frankincense and myrrh. Gold, that's just a good gift card at the time.
Okay, like, yeah, fair. So she actually brings treats and toys and stuff, you know, for a baby. And the baby Jesus is so just delighted. Immediately
takes the frankincense out of the baby's mouth. Like, no, babies don't eat this.
This is not for babies. And she's side-eyeing the three wise men. And they're like, what?
What? I thought the baby wanted some frankincense.
So baby Jesus is so happy that he's like, you know what? You are now mother to all of the children in Italy. Oh. Which is why she goes and gives the kids candies and little treats and stuff.
Jesus has a pretty big head for a baby. It's like, I grant you dominion over the children of Italy.
Right?
So saith Jesus.
I like baby that. Baby Jesus. I like that in this research it said the baby Jesus was so delighted. He's fresh out the womb, bro. He's in a manger. Sticky. Yeah, sticky and dirty in the manger. Also, I don't know where I just heard this from. I feel like a comedian said it, but they made up the word manger because trough was too disturbing to say that the baby in the trough, because that's literally what he was in.
Oh, that's funny.
It was like an animal trough. They're like, where are we going to put this baby? Not on the floor. We're going to put it in something.
Like a hollow wood or goat.
Yeah. And then the third version of the story is basically not that the three wise men stayed in her house, but that she just met them and they were talking to her about the baby Jesus. And she's like, pass. And then the next day had an epiphany of like, maybe I should go see the baby Jesus. But then again, she didn't find baby Jesus. So then she just like searched all of Italy.
It's like the saint of FOMO. I feel that's so awkward. Would you just miss out on Jesus? Because I've been there where like it's someone recommends something that I do want to do, but it's they pick the worst 20 minutes of the day to ask me.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes pass, like, wait, no, of course I do want to go. Oh.
Yeah, they probably asked her like mid-sweep.
Yeah, I don't get to meet Jesus.
So yeah, so to this day, La Bufana is still searching for the baby, which is very sad, and I don't like that. So if people see La Bufana, she hits them over the head with her broom. And apparently that was like an addendum added to keep children in their bed at night. Because if they're like, if you stay in bed, you're going to get treats in the morning. Yeah. But if you get out of bed and La Bufana sees you, she's going to hit you. Gonna smack you.
Oh, wait. Also, look behind you. Smacks him back of the head. Oh, she's here.
She said, La Bufana said, go to sleep.
I love, like, that harkens back to the year ago episode on Krampus. Mm-hmm. Just back then, you just tell your kids horror stories. It's just like, yeah. Hey, if you don't eat your vegetables, Glorgamel's gonna fuck you to death.
He's gonna smack you probably in the back of the legs with twigs.
Yep, so probably go do it.
And now, instead of that, people would rather go to retail locations and tell their child that the hungover barista behind the bar doesn't want to give them a cake pop. No. I had that happen when I used to work at a kid's store. Kids would like grab shit, hold on to it because like this is now their new purpose in life. So then the parents obviously don't want to buy it for them. So then they would come up to the cash and then they'd be like, okay, I only want these things. And then they would look to their kid and they're like, see, she said you can't have that. to me, and I'm like a fucking 20-year-old university student just trying to make minimum wage. And I have to look at this kid in his fucking sticky face and go, no, you can't have this toy.
I think that's a shitty move, but I think I would appreciate that. It's like, yeah, that's me. I don't want you to have it because you're ugly.
I kind of did feel like that, but I also was like, you know what, kid? Actually, I want you to have fucking everything in here. Go around, pick everything. Ask your parents for it.
Yeah.
I was kind of like that because I wanted to spite the parents more than I disliked the kid, you know?
And you know what? For every 5% off every $500 you spend.
Good deal. Good deal. Okay, so a little bit of the history. So it originated in Rome. Befana is probably derived from the Italians' mispronunciation of the Greek word epiphania. Because, you know, Italians don't know how to say anything. If we have Italian listeners, that's a joke.
You spaghetti wranglers.
You spaghetti heads. So there's a goddess whose name is Strina or Strenia. That name could also be derived from, or like who they kind of alluded Befana from. Because, you know. And then in an essay on fine arts, a person wrote down that the word Bastrina were offerings made to Strenia. So like, it's just all like etymology kind of. And then also, someone named Macaulay in that same essay says, Christianity conquered paganism, but paganism infected Christianity. So the same thing with like Krampus, where Krampus was a pre-Christian, pre-existing kind of pagan tradition around like the winter solstice. The same thing here, where in the new year, the Romans had this like goddess who would give out presents to kids and stuff. And like she was the goddess of fertility and abundance or agriculture and stuff for the new year. Freaking Christians come in and they're like, no pagan gods. This is going to be a lady who was blessed by the three wise kings, actually had cocks, was so close to meeting Jesus. But then now she just does nice things and sweeps up Italy and gives candies and stuff.
So close to meeting Jesus. Had a thing that day. It happens.
Had a schedule she had to stick to. Didn't end up meeting Jesus, but that's fine. She's doing the Lord's work anyways.
Hitting kids with brooms.
Yeah. Yeah, so just a little bit more information about how Befana is probably derived from the goddess Strenia. And how similar things, and then the Catholic Church just basically took that as their own and ran with it, because and they tied it to something that was happening around that time, so like the Epiphany, because that's what you do as the Catholic Church. Befana actually, I already said that, so incorporates pre-Christian popular elements, so there's actually, like in some European countries, there is an the old lady character at the beginning of the new year is actually seen as a representation of the past year that had just happened. So in some European countries, they actually have an old lady puppet that they burn.
What?
That they set on fire.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, right? That they set on fire to say goodbye to the new year and welcome the new one. I mean, yeah, to say goodbye to the old year and then welcome the new one.
You could just put it in a box.
You could just be like, thank you for your service. Next, you know?
A simple grazie goes a long way.
Goes a huge, goes miles. When I read that, I was like, man, a fucking course.
Yeah, And any fairy tale about a woman doesn't end with, and then they said thank you. It doesn't end.
So she actually has a name, or like that old woman character has a name, and I think it's Giubiana. So Giubiana. I couldn't find a YouTube video to tell me how to pronounce that because I didn't look.
Giubiana?
Giubiana. Or
I don't know, do you?
Or Guibiana. Like Guido, because it's G-I-U. So do you think it's like Guido?
Yeah, Guido. Yeah, I thought it'd be a Guidette.
Guidette. So Guibiana or G. I don't know if it's a soft G. Whatever. Either way, that's her name, the old lady year's name, and then that even tradition is rooted in some like Celtic tradition. So it's like, this is old fucking shit. And then even some Neolithic beliefs. So that's Jason, super old.
That's old as fuck.
Old as fuck, dude. Almost as old as Stonehenge.
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 Almost as old as Ice Age 2.
So there are, it's still celebrated, like La Befana is still like a character in Italy, and they still do the celebrations where they, in the new year, they start putting up like socks and stockings and stuff so that they can be filled with presents and such. But specifically in our neck of the woods in Toronto, a Befana choir shows up on the winter solstice each December to sing in Kensington Market, Festival of Lights, Parade. So many words. Yeah. So the choir dress as La Befana in costume with a nose, which is rude, to sing to sing love songs to the sun for it to come back. And then,
well, I guess that adds up. That's a very dramatic Italian grandma thing to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to sing a song to bring a sun back. Or just wait till tomorrow, grandma.
Yeah.
The sun will come back.
Just wait a couple of months, grandma. But they're like, no. I need to see the sun now. I'm depressed. I got the sads.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I gotta sing a song because you never call me. So I gotta sing a song to the sun. Maybe if you call grandma, I don't have to.
So it says the singing hags.
Nice. Gather, I love a good hag.
I know, right? Gather to give out candy and cackle and screech to accordion music.
Every folk punk band I listen to.
Yeah. And then they sing in every key imaginable. And then sometimes they're sweeping. So in 2018, there was a film called The Legend of the Christmas Witch, which is like a Italian fantasy comedy movie. So maybe everybody check that out. Another thing. So do you know who Aubrey Plaza is?
I love Aubrey Plaza. Yes. I love Aubrey Plaza. She is so pretty.
She's so pretty.
She's stupid hot.
Yeah, she really is. And like, in a little bit of a scary way, because she's a little scary. She just came out with a book called The Legend of the Christmas Witch, she's like on a book tour about it right now.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So I don't think that it is about La Befana, but let me look at it right now. No, I think they just like took the idea of I think what I saw in one of her interviews is that she took the idea of a Christmas witch instead of it always being like a Halloween witch and kind of ran with it because she just, I think her herself wanted to dress up as a witch at Christmas time as well. Yeah. So it's, you could look into the Italian Christmas witch, which is La Befana, or you can look at Aubrey Plaza's Christmas witch, which is not Italian. And that's it. That's it. Little short and sweet. Not as traumatizing as Krampus. Oh, yeah. Also, it ties a little bit into my topic of last year, because you remember there was Krampus, and then there was his like female counterpart named Perchta, Perchta.
I'm just gonna quickly see if there's La Befana porn.
Befana.
Let me see.
You're saying Bufana, which is very funny.
Befana rule.
Oh, is there? That's fucking hilarious.
There is.
Oh my god.
It's a witch lab. At least, oh, it might be. Well, I think what it is, I think there's an anime that uses a character based off of La Befana.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a hentai. So it's like a hentai. So yeah, there is technically porn.
Amazing. When there's a will, Jason, there's a way.
Mm-hmm. And I just the way you pictured, Kat, big boobas.
Of course. I don't think anyone in hentai is allowed to be an A cup.
Oh, of course not.
Not even a B cup.
Yeah, it's from a, I guess it's based off a show called Trickster. Okay, whatever. I think that's going to be a tradition where I'm going to do now. If you bring up a fictional character, we can end your topic by seeing if there's porn.
That's amazing. I love it. Amazing. But that's so funny.
That is your topic?
That's my topic.
Amazing. Good job, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I want to see this porn now.
I guess, let me send it to you. One sec.
Thank you. Send it to me.
It's not going to be funny. I'm just sending you straight up hentai right now. It's not going to be that funny.
I really, I want someone to look at our, like, messages one day.
It is, yeah, it is just a lot of just very pleasant, very supportive conversations, porn
screenshots. Sometimes we talk about very particular things.
This is one of those things where before I hit enter, I look up and down to make sure I'm sending it to you 1,000 times. You ever have those where, like, or like if you're sending a message talking shit about someone?
I was literally just about to say.
I have to wait 5 minutes of staring and making sure I'm not accidentally, like, with by a weird flirting and slip, I'm sending it to that person.
Yep.
Anyway, here is porn.
That was my entire day today. And then I accidentally did send a message to my boss. But it was a nice message. It was like, I hope your day gets better. But it wasn't meant for her.
Ay, ay, ay.
But yeah, no, that's my nightmare. Am I gonna watch this right now? Oh!
Yeah, it's just porn.
Wow. She doesn't look Italian at all.
One of them probably is, but who tells? Let me see. Characters.
Oh, you sent me like a... Oh, I thought you found like a video.
No, no, no. It's just drawn hentai.
Got it. Wow, wow, wee, wow, dude.
Oh, wow, wow, wee, wow.
I want to know the story. The plot of this porn.
That's what I'm going to tell. Well, I think it's just hentai of an anime, I believe. But I don't know yet. I will make sure to get to the bottom of this.
Thank you. Dude, that's your homework.
Mm-hmm.
This is so funny. But anyways, good episode 22.
Episode 22. Only 3 more episodes till our quad-centennial?
Quarter.
Quart-centennial? Quarter-centennial. Yeah.
Our quarter-life crisis. We'll have a really deranged episode for our 25th one.
We shall. Yeah. We shall. Hopefully by then I'll do the porny one. Because I was looking through it. Because there's been that joke of like with our last episode, like Tentacle Erotica and Rumspringa. Because I keep hearing, I've told a couple of people about it. And then a common response I get is like, I wonder who chose what. But I'm like, at this point, what are you talking about? Who chose it? Because I was looking through. Because one of the people I was on the phone with earlier today, and she was like, oh, yeah, I wonder who chose Tentacle Erotica. But I was like, well, hold the fucking phone, because let me go through the list of her past episodes. It's like 70-30, you have the porn. If we're being real, maybe 60-40, maybe.
This is the best. I'm gaslighting people.
Yeah, and Coach is like, oh, Jason's doing the weird sex stuff again. But really, it's not.
Really, it's not. Lately, it hasn't been. This has been my plan all along.
I'm going to see if I can delete the hentai. Because to be honest, I don't want the hentai in our chat log anymore. I'm removing it.
Wait until I save it.
I'll link it. How about this? I'll remove it for me.
That's so funny.
You'll still see it.
No, Jason, delete it for everybody. Yeah. I don't want to go to message you and there are 3 big tittied hentai bitches looking at me.
Well, unfriend me. All right. So I think we're going to wrap up about now. That was episode 22 of You Should Check Out. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at BruddaHoule. That's BruddaHoule. Catherine, where can they follow you?
They can follow me at It's Catherine Ram on any social media.
Amazing. And then follow the podcast on Instagram at YSEO Podcast. And please make sure to rate the podcast, tell your friends, share, do whatever you can. And a little helps a lot. So, I think with that, we're going to end this episode. Have a great schlade evening.
Bye.
No buys.